start off just with a huge thanksgiving. My heart's really full right now. And first off, for the praise team again, just thank you week after week and leading us in wonderful worship and praise. You can give them a round of applause if you would. And then I'm thankful for yesterday was amazing. Aki and Tony, if you're in the room, are you here? Please stand. Tony, are you here? Okay. They did an unbelievable job. You know, I hate to say this stuff almost begins to be fun. And you're not supposed to have fun when you should be worrying like crazy. But we moved about 280 turkeys, and we were basically done at 10 to 12. And we started about 10:30. So it was incredible. We got a few more to give away again. If you need a turkey, please see Mark or myself or somebody, because we have 20 birds in there that are starting to melt a little bit, and it would be better to get home where they can be delightfully devoured. You can mark down December 15th for prayer. That is the day, hopefully, the church is going to be finished, and this thing will be fully renovated for the most part. Sometime early next year, we'll switch worship. We'll be back over there. This is going to turn into a great, crazy gymnasium for volleyball, for soccer, for basketball, for just kids running around and having a great time in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can't thank enough. I can't thank enough Chris Whitmore and Paul Heitzman, who probably put in 9 million hours. If you would stand if you're here, please stand if you would. And in light of that, you know, this is a lot of you guys who haven't been here for as long as I've been here. I came in 1988, which is like, I'm starting year 31, which is a miracle in itself. But I went to, had the privilege to go get my graduate degree in 1991, and I was on the two-year program that I got done in 1996. And then I wrote a thesis, and my thesis was basically developing an urban outreach center. Now, at that time, it was going to be a gymnasium simply. Having worked in Glenville for 9 years before I came here, and this sounds kind of almost wrong, but I realized that church was not enough in the city. It needed to be supported by so many different pieces to help the whole church community be embraced. And to see what's happened with the Scranton Road Ministries, CDC, I'll say it again, they are not our competitor. They're not even our partner. They are part of the extension of this family that is doing amazing things in 7 or 8 schools in this neighborhood, taking care. I'm so, Sheila, I'm so proud to see people go in there with problems and break down in tears when she's praying with people. Embrace this big, big thing here, if you would, please. They need help right now. Finances are tight. And I can say that because I give to them gladly. Don't see them as a competitor. This thing could not happen without what you guys are doing. And I'm so grateful because, let me tell you, my doctor friends here and my legal friends here, and there's a few legal friends, people will open up to you quicker than they will to a pastor because you meet them right into the soul of their problem. And when you're equipped to share the love of Jesus Christ with them, amazing things happen, and then I get to pick up the pieces afterwards. So thank you, guys, for what you're doing, and seize the opportunity that God has given us, okay? Okay, happy Thanksgiving to all of you. And if I would turn really quickly to a story that many of you maybe have heard. Whoa. We did that on purpose. And if not, it's a really neat story. It's in Luke chapter 17, And Jesus is walking to Jerusalem. And what really caught me this week was Jesus was walking to his death. You know, if you were walking to your death or mine, my guess is you wouldn't be too mindful of people around you. You would be so filled with yourself. Man, this is it. 3 years of ministry, and now we're going to the cross. And that wasn't our Savior because he wasn't through yet. And as he's walking to Jerusalem and he goes intentionally between the border of Samaria and Galilee, he heads into a village and he sees 10 lepers. Lepers were like bad. They had to stand back and give people the space and yell, leper, leper. So people wouldn't get in their circle, get close to them, get infected by them. We have a lot of lepers that we place in our society, don't we? That we think are, don't touch those people. And those are the very ones Jesus says, go love. Go share with them the love of God. Live the love of God. Show hope. And Jesus sees these lepers. They stood at a distance in honor of Jesus, realizing their own outcast condition. And they yell out, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. He sees them. Don't take that word lightly. I might have just kept walking because I'm too busy, I'm too full of myself, tragedy's coming my way. But Jesus saw them. And he said, go show yourselves to priests to follow the rules of the law. As they went, here's faith, as they went, they were cleansed. It wasn't like, come cleanse me. He said, go. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them came back, praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan who generally didn't hang around with Jews. Jesus asked, were not all the 10 cleansed? Where's the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said, rise and go forth. Your faith has made you well, spiritually now and physically. So as I thought about this, what would have happened if David Letterman were there? See, 2,000 years later, David Letterman did the top 10. Well, I'm going to give you 33 AD's version of the top 9, okay? David Letterman's top 9. One waited to see if the cure was real. One waited to see if it would really last. The question is, how come the other 9 didn't come? One said, oh, I'll see Jesus later. One decided, well, I really never had leprosy in the first place. One gave glory to the priest for the cleansing. One said, oh, well, Jesus didn't really do anything. He just spoke a few words. One said, any rabbi could have done that. And one said, I was already healed. It's kind of silly until I ask myself the question, which I always do when I prepare a message. What might I have done? What might you have done? Would you have come back to Jesus and say, thank you, thank you? Or would you have just kind of received the blessing and went on your merry way? I mean, we don't know until we're in these situations, but my guess is we're in these situations all the time. I want to challenge you today on the word thank you. 1 Thessalonians says, chapter 5, 16 to 18, rejoice in the Lord always, pray without ceasing, and in all things give thanks, for For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says all things, even what's impossible for you in your life today to give thanks for. What's the thing that's got you so gripped in self-pity and self-absorption that the last thing in the world you could do is give thanks to the one who didn't take your problem away yet? All things, he says. You might sit here and say, that's impossible. All things? Is it? Maybe you can relate to this story. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. And instantly, it was exit stage left. They ran for the nearest fence possible, hoping to climb the fence and get out of there. But the storming bull was following them in breakneck speed. And it soon became very apparent that they weren't going to make it. They were terrified, and one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." Well, John answered, you know, like a lot of guys I know, I was, well, I can't pray in public. I don't know how to pray in public. I've never done that before. His friend said, you got to do it. We're in trouble. The bull is catching up to us. All right, panted John. I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we're about to receive, make us truly thankful. That's not exactly a spirit of thanksgiving, but I want you to consider one. Consider this guy. Look at him to rejoice. And this guy's about to give it all on Thursday. I mean, he's going to give himself. And he's just saying here, be thankful. Remember this guy when you're having a bad day. I took that from the Kumina Clinic. I will return it next week. For many of us today, to be serious, circumstances of life have a way of strangling our spirit of thanksgiving. I like to call it my thank tank. We all have a thank tank. And based on how full it is, will determine how expressive it is. We lose touch with self, a spirit of gratitude. And the result oftentimes is our lives get bitter, disconnected, and self-centered. Ironically, the word gratitude carries two critical ingredients in the very spelling of the word that will help you with a thankful spirit. Gratitude, G-R, grace. Its root is found in the word grace, God's unmerited favor toward us as his children. God's power to sustain a right spirit in me amidst dire weakness. We went over many times this past summer, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, when I'm weak, I'm strong because his power is perfected in my weakness, not your strength. Weakness is a gift from God when I understand that's where he'll meet me directly, because I realize, hopefully, I can't do the thing on my own. Rather than walk so proudly and say, I can handle it. In the meantime, you and everything around you is starting to fall apart because of pride, which becomes arrogance. And we don't want to call it that because that sounds a little too mean. But that's what we are. We close out God. We close out the world around us. We close out the very help we need. His power operates through my weakness. When I am tempted to say I can't, remember, he can. Ramona, what do you used to say? When you're at the end of your rope, tie a knot. Because he's not at the end of his. And he might be writing an amazing story in and through your life if you let him keep writing. The second that comes out of the word is attitude. G-R, grace, attitude, gratitude. How do you process life and carry it forth? Someone said that attitude is everything. The attitude you bring to the day, the attitude you bring to the plate, to your workplace, wherever, to school, is everything. A bad attitude can just spoil all around you, let alone do a terrible number on yourself. Ask the mumbly, grumbly Israelites. Again, I ask the question, what would I do? Man, they just got freed from Pharaoh. Jesus parts the Red Sea. They march on dry ground. And they celebrate for about 3 days. And then they start grumbling. Where is my water? Where is my food? And you forget what just happened. And we read that story and say, oh, no, those stupid Israelites. Then I look in the mirror and say, what would I do? What do I do? How long does a blessing last in your life before you're looking to the next one? How long do you get angry at God because he didn't meet the need you just asked and you forgot what he's done all your life? We're all guilty of that. That is our natural tendency, and especially if my tank isn't full. That parting of the Red Sea might have been the second greatest miracle in the Bible. I say second because you know what the greatest miracle is? Your salvation and mine. I could do nothing to save myself, and neither could you. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Read Ephesians chapter 2. You're dead to your sins and trespasses. You were following the evil one in the world. And I didn't even know there was an evil one. But I was lost before I ever knew what the word lost meant. And God in his mercy reached down and touched Joe in 1973. And when did he touch you? And is that so paramount in your heart that every day you can say, God, if nothing else goes right today, thank you that on that day you made me a child of the living God. You breathed your Holy Spirit into my life and gave me life. You gave me life when no one gave me a prayer. Is that your testimony today? Or have you forgot it? Because you're looking for the next thing. And you lost touch with the giver, the great giver of all good gifts. Thanksgiving, gratefulness impacts us psychologically, physically, emotionally. Check this out, gang. I'm getting smart here. I was reading scientific and medical journals this past couple weeks. Because I wanted to see from a pagan perspective, does gratitude have any effect on my life? If this wasn't even a spiritual deal. And I found out that it's probably the least expensive drug prescription you can ever have. UC Davis researcher Robert Edmonds records that people who perceive gratitude as an inherent trait as opposed to a temporary state of mind take better care of themselves. It is a tool to minimize stress, lessen heart disease and certain forms of cancer, and it reduces negative emotions from surfacing. Gratitude. Some of the psychological and emotional benefits are staggering. A concerted practice of gratitude helped many thousand Vietnam War veterans who were coping with PTSD. Gratitude. In fact, one gets more empathetic, is less vengeful. Grateful people are able to better corral envy and greed and thus put themselves in a place to have healthier attachments with those around them. And you know, if I remember right, the second great commandment was to love your neighbor as yourself. People that are bitter don't tend to do a very good job with that one because they're thinking only of themselves and the bad breaks I got in life. You might be lonely here today because you're not reaching out to anyone yourself. It's a two-way street here. You might be waiting for me to reach out, and maybe I'm the one who needs it today. Do you ever think of that? Like I say often, when I look at my birth certificate, it doesn't say Pastor Joe. It says Joe Flabeats, who somewhere along the way happened to become a pastor when I least expected it. Studies on the human brain reveal that a regular practice of gratitude, especially right before bed, results in improved sleep, less pain, lowers blood pressure, and increases optimism and compassion. An MRI study was shown to increase activity and stimulation in the hypothalamus, which will produce better sleep and digestion of one's food. So sincerely, a sincere prayer before your meal and before you go to bed might be more powerful than you really know, because it messes with your spirit in a positive way. So how do I practice or insert thankfulness? Is someone back there? Could you hit the lights a minute, please? Right? Thanks. John? Here are four things you can do practically. Three. Every day. Do this for 2 weeks. Get out a prayer journal and write down 3 to 5 things daily and pray them back to the Lord that you're thankful for. Do it in the morning or do it before you go to bed. Help train your mind to be thankful. Secondly, train yourselves to be mindful of those around you and give at least one compliment to someone daily. That almost seems, but think about it. Do you compliment other people around you? Or you just blow by and blow by and blow by? It's so simple, and we make it so hard. Well, I'm an introvert, sorry. Well, then get an introverted compliment. You don't got to be rah-rah, sis, kumba. And push yourself beyond, have a good day. What does that mean? Be blessed. Okay, not bad. Thanks for being a hard worker. Thank you for making that sacrifice. Thank you for making me look good, Aki and Tony. And on and on and on. Think. Thirdly, during a tough time, ask God for his grace to ask him what you're learning through this rather than feel sorry time for yourself. Because your temporary trial, this too will pass, might be for the very experience of empathizing and helping somebody else down the road who's going through the same thing you are. Why do alcoholics go to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings? Empathy, understanding. When you're out of work and you got a job, who can better encourage somebody who's out of work? You. When you've gone through a tough situation at school, you've been bullied or whatever, go alongside of somebody who's receiving the same thing. But through it all, get your mind prepared. It's your choice to not only receive thankfulness, but then to give it out in various means and ways. And that gets me back to Psalm 136, 1-3. Craig said he needed a very simple reading, so I picked this one out for him. 3 times in the first 3 verses, and once in the last verse, verse 26, it simply says, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. And one of the versions says, his faithful love endures forever. And I like that. That means that God is never stopping to give his enduring love to his children and to his creation. He's pleading with us here, give thanks for something he shouldn't really have to plead over. Don't look down when you leave the house. Look up and look at the stars. Remind yourself who created those things. Remind yourself if the sun was a little closer, we'd be in big trouble. If it was a little farther away, we'd be frigid as could be. Who set everything in place like this? Who gave me breath to breathe today? Who gave me a bed to sleep in? Even if you're in a shelter, who put a roof over your head? Who fed my stomach today? Once those become generic, you're losing it. Because every good and perfect gift comes from above, James 1 and 17. Throughout Scripture, if you study the word thankfulness, you'll see a marriage between praise or rejoicing and thankfulness. A grateful heart will produce outward praise. Well, you'll say I'm grateful today, but why do I have to say it? Well, let me put it into the household for those maybe who are married or kids with your parents or parents with your kid. You know I love you. Why do I have to tell you? You know someone who's ever done that before? Why do they need to? I gave you a ring. I put food on the table. We went out 6 months ago. Of course you have to express it. Because not only is it good for the recipient, it's good for you. You see, if you don't do it, pretty soon your heart might start to wander. And the object of your love will start to wander. Express love. Express thanksgiving. I.e., don't take for granted what God has given you. Psalm 136 reminds us that we give thanks, we rejoice. Several reasons as you go through this psalm. I'll just summarize some of them. Because God is good. He's the God over all gods, thus making others not really gods. If he's the God over all gods, there really aren't any other gods. That's just what they call themselves. That's why it's little g. But this is big G, big L, big King of Kings, big Lord of Lords. He's over all kings and magistrates and authorities. We praise the God of a covenant love with an eternal love that is bound to those who are part of his born-again family, his children. He's the source of good. He is the good of all good. He is the sustainer of good. He is the perfecter of good. And he is the rewarder of good. And goodness will not get you to heaven. Godliness will get you to heaven, but godliness will make you good. Now there's a room for good works. There's a room for serving and caring for one another as an overflow for what God is doing in your own life. And that's good, because done the right way, they're not getting Joe, they're getting God through Joe. And my prayer this morning was, God, I don't give a rip about Joe today. Just let me be an instrument for you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and speak through me, because I have nothing to say on my own that's worth listening to. But God's got a lot to say to all of us in this room right now. Because it can start immediately when the service is over. He's never changing. He's enduring. He's not moody. How many here know somebody who is moody? Boy, a lot of liars in this room. I am so grateful God is not moody. And I went there. No. If he is my God, I can trust him and I can endure during trying times. Vengeance is in his hands, not mine. The psalm says we can be thankful for his creation, for deliverance, for the guidance or direction we receive in life. And verse 23, he remembers us in our lowest state. His love endures forever. He remembers us especially in our humility. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And especially those who are humble, that are living in humble situations, the sorrowful, who protects the helpless, who provides for the needy, who pardons the guilty. Sounds like the legal clinic again. The chief lawyer in that group is Jesus Christ. Because he cares. The least of the brethren, he cares. The down and out, he cares. In your striving to be the best person you can be, to attain the most resources you can, go for it under God's leading. But when I read the New Testament, the only ones that were going to have difficulty getting to heaven were the rich. It's almost impossible for those guys, he says. Not impossible. But why is he saying that? Because you get full of yourself and you start to believe that everything I have is from me. I did this. I attained this. I worked for this. I earned this. And then next thing, it turns into entitlement. From him, from her, and from him. You owe me. Really? And why is that so important? Because our state of life can change so quickly. Death, a breakup in a relationship, a lost job, a weather tragedy. You know, things out there that happen that we read about, and sometimes we say, oh, man. Lydia Beckstrom's sister lost her house in Paradise, California from the fire. Thank God she's not dead. Like maybe another 140 or so that are dead plus lost everything. Just like that. Well, it can't happen to me. Tragedy, traumatic incidents of all kinds. And God is right there. Give thanks and praise him. Brooklyn Tabernacle said, in the good times, I'm going to praise your name. In the bad times, I'll do the same. In everything, all the people said, give him thanks. Give him praise. And you got to train yourself to do that because it's not natural. J.I. Packer, in his book, Your Father Loves You, in 1986, he wrote these words, to cultivate humility and a passion of praise, that's how you grow in God's grace. Cultivate a spirit of humility and a passion of praise. And God's abundant grace will empower you and equip you for any situation he allows you to be in. Speaking on humility, Sir Winston Churchill of England was asked, doesn't it thrill you that every time you make a speech, the hall is packed to overflowing? He said, it's quite flattering, he replied. But whenever I feel that way, I always remember that if instead of making a political speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be double. My years with Winston Churchill by Norman McGowan, I won't take credit for that. But a spirit of giving thanks reminds us of how much we have and keeps us from focusing on what we don't have. You can pray for that. And if we ever truly start to see community happen in here, you're going to be surprised how God's going to use one another to meet needs like he did back in Acts 2, Mark. Thank you. And you do a great job. But we can do better, right? Blessings over wants. Well, what blessings? I don't have any blessings. Unfailing love, grace through Jesus Christ, victory over death, the living word of God, a faithful community, which if you're not a part of, that's on you. There is community all over here waiting for you to take the step in. You want to do it yourself? Do it yourself. But the word of God says community. Be a part of something beyond yourself. Invest in others and receive. The same token as you praise God and grow together. Prayers heard and received, redemption, sharing in the saints' inheritance, faithful and just. I've been named. Air to breathe, food to eat, health to get here, shelter overhead, a purpose. Thankfulness will keep bitterness at bay. will sustain it through evil and give us strength and endurance even when we grieve. My son and daughter-in-law are grieving today because their daddy died. I was on the phone with my sister who was bawling her eyes out because my mommy's about ready to go. But you can grieve with hope if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a difference for those who don't have that hope. We don't have to be excited about our circumstances, but we can be thankful towards God because he is right there with us and he understands. I want to close with these verses and then a little special song. What kind of high priest are we with? Hebrews 4:15. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He understands what you're going through, like nobody. And Hebrews 13:15-16, during a difficult time, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And what happens when you do that? And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Is it evident in your life today, a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude? And it's not enough to say, I am, but you don't show it. Because it's meant to be shared with others. It's your choice today. Consider this last victory. How are we going to leave this place one day? My season of life, I think about it almost every day. I don't know how I'm going to go, but I hope it's going to be a part of this chant from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. That's now. Come before him with joyful songs. That's now. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. What does he say? Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. It can start right now. Don't wait. Don't wait. Let's watch this and see.